Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Geisel. I am a human design and relationship coach, 6'2", manifesting generator, and total lover of life. If you want real solutions to real life problems, then you are in the right place. This podcast is dedicated to using human design, ancient teachings, and DNA activation to elevate both your relationship with yourself and the people around you. If you are willing to take action on the practical steps given in this podcast, I promise your life will change for the better. All you have to do is open your heart and mind, step beyond your fear, and activate the courage needed to create a life that you're excited to live. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. We are continuing on with our series on decision-making authorities in human design. So we are getting close to having them all covered at this point. We have self-projected left, and then we also have the non or lunar authority of the reflectors, and then the environmental or ego projected authority. So today, though, we are going to talk about self-projected authorities. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, make sure that you go back and check out the episode where we start to begin talking about the different decision-making in authorities in human design, why they're so important to understand, and why they're one of the foundational pieces to understanding and utilizing and integrating your human design into your life. So in the last episode on the Splenic Center, I talked about how it doesn't matter if you are one of these authorities or not. They all work, they're all connected in some way, shape, or form. And there's more to be learned about the different centers that they're connected to and how they work. So don't shy away from checking out and listening to all of the other episodes on all the other authorities, because there's probably something that's going to speak to you in your own life that you get to work on and just create more opportunity for more growth, more evolution, and all of that. So let's dig in. Self-projected authority. So this one is only in regards to projectors. Only projectors have a self-projected authority here. But again, we can all learn something, because this is the authority that operates from the G center. It goes from the G center to the throat center. And our G center is all about our identity. So it's about identity, and it's really where we hold love. So what you say or what you hear yourself say spontaneously is your true essence. It's your identity. And when you're making decisions in your life, you want to make sure that you're making decisions that are in alignment with your true essence and your identity. And this authority is going to do that through the power of the throat center, which is the throat. So here are some of the difficulties that we will see with this specific authority is, it's one, it's not honoring your own identity and honoring somebody else's instead. Right? So it's really common around the age of 8 to 10. And this is for everybody, but this is just something to understand about your G center. But it's really common around the ages of 8 to 10. We start to kind of lose our identity of who we are, and we start to become who we think everybody else wants to be. We kind of lose that joy, that innocence of just being authentically us. And we start to look at the world and we start to say, who do I need to be to feel loved, to feel accepted? And oftentimes that's actually turning against who we are, because we say, who does mom need me to be? Do I need to be the smart one? Do I need to be the pretty one to be loved and accepted by her? Who does my dad need me to be? Do I need to be the disciplined one? Do I need to be the one that is on all the different sports? Like, who do I need to be to get love from them? Who do I need to be be accepted by, you know, the people at my church or the people at school or my friends or whatever that looks like, right? And so we start to lose ourselves pretty young. And then we start to make decisions in our life, not by who we are, but who we think everybody else wants us to be. And because that G center is also connected with love, it comes down to our ability to love ourselves, how we give love and how we receive love. And so the issues of like what I just spoke about that can really come up here is overriding what you want to be, who you want to be, or what you want to do with what someone else wants you to be, or what you think that somebody else wants you to be, or what you think somebody else wants you to do, because you think that is the way that you're going to feel loved and accepted in your life. So it's at this point in our life that we start to turn away from us and we start to create almost this shell of ourselves. And this is where our ego really starts to come in. And it's, we start to show up as with all the masks of all the people we think we're supposed to be. And very rarely is that who we really are. And I know this to be true because in all of the work that I have done with myself, with other people, one of the most difficult questions that I've ever asked is, who are you? Who are you? And the reason that this is so difficult is because for most people, there's something called object referral versus self-referral. And most of us refer to ourselves based on the objects of our external environment. I'm a mom. I'm a daughter. I'm a wife. I do this for work. I have this title. This is the way that we explain who we are. The problem with this is that if any of those things are taken away, you lose your identity. You know, this is really, really common with athletes, right? So an athlete was an athlete. And the moment that you take away the title of them being an athlete, that you take away their identity, and it leaves them feeling so lost and so confused because, well, who am I then? Right? If you consider yourself somebody that has money and then you take away the money, who's left? This is getting very existential. I understand that. But it's important to understand that this is what it means to be object referral. And this is how most of us see ourselves in reference point to our external environment. And where that leaves us is living in a state of fear. We're trying to control everything. We're trying to have power over people. And we don't want to see, like, we don't want anybody to see our weaknesses. And it just leaves us in this state of feeling very disconnected and just not really thriving in our life because we don't really know who we are. And there's always this fear that who you think you are based on all of these objects could be taken away at any moment, which they could. And then who's left? And then who's left? And so if you look at self-referral is, it's what we would refer to as the spirit, the soul. It's what's left when you take away all of the objects. It's what's left when you take away and you strip away all of the external labels that you've given yourself, all of the external things that you have done. You take them away, and what's left? It's what's left when you aren't consumed by your thoughts. It's what's left when you are in silence with yourself. It is what's left when your mind's not involved and you are fully present in your life. And you know what this is and who this is. You've experienced them. Rarely, maybe, but you have. When you're so present in your life, because here's what comes with being having this essence of self-referral, about being connected to your soul, to your spirit, to who you truly are, is you let go of control. You're spontaneous. You're joyful. You have this sense of innocence. You're excited about love, about life and love. And you don't feel superior to anyone, but but you also feel, you don't feel inferior to anyone. Now, it's always the honor all but bow to none. You realize where you are connected and who you are, and there is no need to compare and contrast you to somebody else because you were never meant to be somebody else, and we are all intrinsically connected in some way, shape, or form. So there is always somebody that you can learn from. At the same time, there is somebody that you can teach. There is somebody that you can love, and at the same time, there is somebody that can love you. You can be the person that gives and also the person that receives. You get to be it all. But in order to do that, we're very multifaceted. It's very fun. But in order to live in that duality, we have to strip away who we think we're supposed to be, who we've been taught we should be, and come back to our true identity, which is ultimately pure love. Now, that might feel like a long way to get there, and it can be. So we'll talk a little bit about that, about how we start to get there, but this is the difference. This is the difference. And this is the cycle that we can get caught up in, and the identities that we can start to identify with. And then we actually miss out on who we really are because we're so busy trying to be somebody else. So when you go against yourself, when you go against who you really are, when you go against your truest expression, when you are turning away from loving yourself, it leads to this deep disconnection from yourself. It almost leaves you with a sense of longing, of confusion, of feeling lost. Something that I hear all the time is, "Stacey, I feel like I have lost myself. I don't even know who I am anymore. I've gotten so wrapped up in being a mom or a wife that I don't know what it is to be Stacey." And trust me, I've been here. And honestly, I have to work on it every single day to not get wrapped up. And for me, it might not be a mom, but it's the work that I do. How do I not get wrapped up in the work that I do and forget that who I am is not what I do? What I do can fluctuate and it can move and it can change and it can shift and it can evolve. And so can who I am. But it's this opportunity to remember that it's how you show up in the world, not what you're doing, that will make the biggest impact on yourself and the people around you. So we have to come back to who are we? And the remedy to all of it, we need to come back home. You need to come back to yourself. You need to start to choose you again. Start to embrace the truth of who you are and love yourself for it so that other people can start to love you for it as well. And trust me, I get that this is not easy. It is not easy to love yourself when you've lived most of your life going against yourself and trying to be loved by everybody else. And foregoing yourself in the process. When you start to choose you after you've been choosing everybody else for most of your life, I get how tough that is. And the thing about change is it usually gets harder. There's this moment that your ego is going to fight it tooth and nail because it doesn't want to change. It doesn't want to change. It would rather things stay the same way that they are, regardless of how uncomfortable they are. It doesn't want to change. And so it will fight you when you start to choose you, and it's going to feel worse before it feels better. But just at that moment, that valley of despair that I have talked about, I'm sure in episodes before, but it's that moment before change actually occurs. You go to this moment, this valley of despair, and you're like, I just want to give up because this feels harder than life felt before when I was just choosing everybody else. Choosing me feels harder than choosing everybody else. So I'm just going to go back to choosing everybody else. But if you can just stick it out, if you can just stick it out, change comes. And then we have more joy, more confidence, more love, more fulfillment, more happiness. We're healthier. Ah, the other side of change. The other side of transformation. It's a beautiful thing. And the thing about this authority and this G center and understanding it and really, really embracing it is this isn't about anybody else. This is about your expression of love and truth for yourself. And I would be lying if I said that this is not one of the most difficult things to do because of all the reasons that we have already shared here on this episode. But with this authority, what you say in response to an invitation is your truth. But if there is no invitation, there's nothing to say and there's nothing to hear, so decisions can't be made. But when you are invited to speak, when you are asked a question, you have to trust what you say spontaneously. What just comes up from the truth of your love for yourself and your truest essence and identity, trusting what comes from that space to ensure that your decisions support your self-expression and your identity. Not somebody else's version of how they think that you should express yourself or how who they think you should be, but who you are. So how can you start to put this into practice? It's going to be actually very similar to the ego manifested authority. So one of the first things you want to do, and whether this be you are the self-projected or you are in a relationship with somebody who is self-projected, you need to, if you are the self-projected, you need to surround yourself with people that can ask you questions and can create a safe and stable environment for you to express your identity and your authenticity in everything that you are. Without trying to put their own spin on it, without trying to lead you one way or the other, without trying to project their own insecurities and fears onto you, without any of that, which is so difficult. This is difficult for all of us because it's not uncommon for us that's the lens through which we see the world. And what we have to do in support of our self-projected authorities and honestly in support of all of our friendships and our relationships and all of that is that we can share our experience. Absolutely. We can ask questions out of curiosity, but to support, we have to take us out of it. We have to trust that we can share our experience. We can share maybe what we're seeing, what we're feeling. But ultimately, we have to give them the space to speak for themselves and make their own decisions and trust that their decision is what is best for them. And what you think is best for you or for them might not be what's best for them. They have to choose. So giving them this opportunity and this space to speak and express themselves and then honor their decision, even if it's not what you would choose to do. Honor it, support it. Think about a time in your life when all you wanted was support from the people around you and all you got was resistance. Can you turn that and be that support for somebody else? When you asked yourself, can't they just get over their own fears and let me do what I want to do? This is your opportunity to be that, the thing that you wished that you could have been, that somebody else would have been for you. Can you be that for somebody else? Can you give that? So if you're the self-projected authority, coming back to being really aware of filtering your voice. So your throat center is really important that you realize that you need to allow yourself to just speak from that expression of self-love and identity and speak directly from the G center. Trust that spontaneous expression that comes up when you are invited to share, because you don't want to go for so many people. Then what I mean by filtering is that you have something that you want to say, you have this expression, there's something that spontaneously arises that you want to share, but then you let it go through the filter of your head. And you think to yourself, well, are they going to accept this? Are they going to hear it the way that I want to hear it? Are they going to understand it? And so then you start to mold and shift and try to almost manipulate what you're trying to say to put it in a way that they're going to hear it. And when you do this, it loses its power. It loses its power because it's inauthentic, because it's no longer you. It's you with a mask on of who you're talking to. So it no longer feels genuine, and the power that it had does not hold any longer because it feels as if at its truest essence that it's just untrue. It was true when it spontaneously arose from you. It became untrue when you tried to manipulate it into something that you thought the other person wanted you to say. Or you thought that you could find a way to say it in a way that they would understand it better. And it almost always does more harm than good. So it's actually really funny. You know, I've had this happen in so many areas of my life. And I call it like... When I realized what I was doing, I was trying to Andrew-fy things. And when I realized that this happened in my own life, it was quite funny because I realized that so many times I would want to tell Andrew about an idea that I had or something that was going on with me. And I would come to him and I would almost like have it in like presentation form. Like I was like, okay, the way that Andrew thinks is very logical and it's very, I want to know the answers and I better have the answers to all the questions. And so I would try to Andrew-fy it. I would try to put it into a presentation, have all the answers, have everything figured out, even though, let's be real, it was a bunch of bullshit because I didn't have it all figured out. I didn't know how this was going to play out, but I thought that maybe if I could just give Andrew that sense of stability, like I had some clue what I was doing, that he would be more supportive of whatever I was doing. And it almost always worked against me. Like I was like, gosh, like I tried so hard and I got like, I did not get what I was looking for there. And so then one time I came out of a meditation and I said, Andrew, I need to go visit the elephants in Thailand. Like I just got out of this meditation and it's super clear to me that I need to go to Thailand and I want to spend time in this elephant sanctuary. And he was like, okay, let's make it happen. I'm like, that's it? You don't want to know how or why or when or any of that? And he's like, no, we'll figure that out. And it was this moment that I was like, oh my gosh, the things that can happen when we don't filter ourselves. When we don't filter the information and we just speak from our heart, because that's what I did. I didn't try to figure it out. I just said, hey, this is on my heart and I need to say it. And every time I have ever, ever, ever done that with my husband or anybody else in my life, it's rarely the conversation I thought I was going to have, but always received significantly better than I thought. And that usually sparks some beautiful conversation of some sort. And I learn something about myself or the other person in the process when I don't filter. So consider that. The other thing is that, again, if you don't have somebody in your life or you don't feel necessarily safe yet to talk to, well, call me, first of all. If you don't have anybody in your life like that, then I am available. Sign up for a mini session. But journal it out. Give yourself an opportunity, a place to express yourself. And this is a great option. Journaling is a great option. It's your opportunity to speak to put your expression onto paper and to speak it out. I recommended for ego manifested authorities to also do voice notes and kind of do voice memos so that you can hear yourself speak, and you can just put a question, you know, that you're pondering or something that's going on, and put it at the top of the page. Set a timer for 10 minutes and then just journal whatever comes through. You know, it doesn't have to seemingly make any sense. Just allow whatever spontaneously arises within you to come out onto paper. This can be a great introduction into actually speaking it, is to start trusting it on paper. And as far as journaling, sometimes people struggle with journaling because they think too much. They're in their head too much. And so that's where I like to really set the timer and just put 10 minutes down and then just start writing. It does not have to make sense in the beginning. It doesn't have to correlate, like nothing. It's just this opportunity to start the writing process and just start to see and bypass. We have to get it takes a minute sometimes to get past our head and get into our heart. And so allowing that to happen can be really powerful. And then lastly, just really trust your voice. It needs to be heard, but wait for the invitation. If you speak without an invitation, then it's going to work against you and you're not going to feel heard. And then it's going to be this opportunity to be like, to convince yourself that your voice shouldn't be heard, or that your needs don't matter, or that the expression that you have, see, I told you, you know, we do this thing in our lives where we're like, I knew it, right? We're always looking for things to identify or to solidify the stories that we're telling ourselves. So if you're somebody who doesn't feel heard, or you don't have a lot of self-love, or you don't feel like others love and accept you in some way, shape, or form, you're going to look for things to solidify that in your own life. And so just making, and if you speak without an invitation, that could be something that happens. So just watch out for that. And you just know that you can also create your own invitation. You can create your own invitation by asking if someone could ask you some questions or chat with you so that you can gain some clarity on a decision in your life. Like, you can ask and kind of create your own invitation, if you need to. So that is some things, and I hope you learned some things and took some things away from this podcast episode on the self-projected authority. If you have questions or you really want to sign up for a mini session and get some more information about your own human design chart, then feel free to utilize the link in the show notes, or you can just go directly to the website, www.evolvebeyondlimits.com, and you can find that information there as well as probably anything else you're looking for. So until next time, walk your talk, speak your truth, choose courage over comfort, and always evolve beyond limits.